Well, hey friends, welcome to my daily teaching video. Greetings to you from the UK. I am staying in my little cottage in the village of Hale. I used to work here years ago, like 30 years ago. So it's great to be back here, and it's great to be with you. Hey, in a moment, I'm going to begin a new series this week where I'm going to be talking for probably 2 or 3 weeks about the promises of God and how to live a life based on the promises of God. So I encourage you to get a cup of coffee, a notepad, a pen, a Bible. And today I want to give you 3 keys that will lead you, maybe not into a promised land, but a land of promises, and more importantly, into a life of promise. So I have some English tea here right now because I'm in England. Cheers. But wishing you well wherever you're at. Hey guys, let me know if I can pray for you. Drop me a line. Love to hear from you. A couple of practicals. I do have a copy of this book I'm going to be teaching from chapter 1 today called The Promise. This is my old beat-up copy, but we're studying this at the moment in our churches in New England. I have a Bible study on probably this evening by the time you're watching this. Hey, if you'd like a copy of this, link below, Amazon, usual thing, Kindle, hardback, paperback, dead tree version. Lots of things going on in my ministry and far too many to mention, but the best way of keeping in touch with me is my email newsletter, which I send out most days. It's a daily, most days video, so there should be a link somewhere below. We'll give you a free gift when you do that. Boom. Let's go. Right. So I want to talk about the promises of God and really sort of want to zoom out here. And again, I want to give you 3 keys that will really help you in this area. I believe God calls us to a life of promise. I think God has incredible, like glorious, incredible things for the world. I think we dream in black and white and God dreams in color. I think, you know, I've hardly ever had the experience where I've come to God with a plan, a dream, an idea, and have him say, oh, that's too much. You know, we have this sort of, I call it this milk toasty, dumbed down evangelical idea that, well, you don't ask God for too much and, you know, it may not be his timing or whatever. And like, there's always tiny pieces of truth in most of these lies because that's what they are. But we have a yes and an amen God. We have a God who longs to change the world, touch things. He's going to do that. He's working that out in time and space. But he's also working that out through men and women who'll grab a hold of those promises. You know, in 2 Corinthians, at the end of 1 Corinthians, let me start there. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, guys, I'm going to come and visit you. I'm on my way. You know, you can expect me then. And then he begins his second letter, 2 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, as Trump calls it. And Trump's favorite book, right? Don't write to me nasty letters. He begins it by saying, guys, I apologize. I told you I was coming and my bad. It didn't happen. You know, at the time of recording this, I'm recording this on a Tuesday. Yesterday, I was in London, and I got an email. I was having a coffee in the late afternoon. I got an email. My train back had been cancelled, not delayed, not, you know, just we've cancelled your train. You can get a refund eventually. And, you know, I didn't panic. You know, of course, stuff like this happens, but stuff like that, that's my point. Stuff happens. Stuff hits the fan. Stuff happens. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, I apologize because I said I was coming to see you and I didn't make it. And Paul says it, and he phrases it this way, I gave you a yes, but it became a no. But then Paul contrasts that with the person, the will, the promises of God in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. And he says, all the promises of God. Let me say that again. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ to the glory of God through us. Okay. So many of us are used to hearing verses at a shallow level. And I just want to say that again several times so we catch that. All the promises, any promise you find in this book. Well, those promises are for the Jews, Graham, not for all the promises of God. All the promises of God. Well, God might love somebody else more than he loves me. God is no respecter of persons. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ to the glory of God. And then, just again, think about this. All the promises are yes and amen. All the promises, yes and amen, the to the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your life to give glory to God? The obvious answer should be yes. How do we give glory to God? Again, we give glory to God through praise, through worship, by lifting up His name. Lord, I glorify You. Amen. I believe that. We give glory to God by doing the things He's called us to do, by faithfulness. We give glory to God through our character, like, amen. We give glory to God through loving people. But in this context, Paul is saying glory will be brought to God through people who obtain and step into the promise, All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ to the glory of God through us. Glory will be brought to God through us when we engage in and engage with the promises of God. The Bible talks about those who through faith did this, through faith did that, through faith brought walls down, through faith, you know, closed the mouth of lions, through faith. And it says through faith they obtained promises. If you're watching this, if you're taking notes, write that little phrase down, obtained promises. The Bible says, let us not be lazy or slothful, but let us be followers, pursuers, imitators of those who through faith and patience, or a better translation is faith and diligence, obtain promises. We need people. You need people in your life who you follow. You need to stalk people. Google, don't throw me off the airways. My point is, follow people. Be like, I'm not a rabbit, following people. Who are the people you should follow on Twitter or X or Facebook, if you're still on that or whatever? Follow those who obtain promises. I think people have a right to come to my church and come sit down with me, you know, not in a rude way, but take me out for coffee and say, Graham, tell me about the promises you have obtained if you want me to follow you. We have a whole load of, like, a cottage industry. It's not a cottage industry. It's like a multi-marketing level industry of people teaching on leadership. It's amazing how many people teaching on leadership don't lead something. A lot of people teaching on leadership lead organizations that exist to teach on leadership. Pause, think that through. It's like somebody's teaching on leadership. What do you lead? Like, I lead an organization. What does your organization do? It teaches on leadership. It's like a multi-level marketing, a chain letter thing in a way. And again, there's a lot of wisdom in those things, and there's a lot of good books written out there. My point is this, though. If you want me to follow you, you become a leader. And a leader is somebody who obtains promises. So let me give you three keys that will really help you in growing in the promises of God. And I'm going to come back every day, and we're going to continue in this ilk, in this vein, continue to lay this foundation. And I want to help you before this month is out to be able to open this book and say, yeah, there's a promise here, and it came true, it came real, it was activated in my life. You know, I'm here in the UK, and I don't think I have one on me. Literally in my cottage here, I have a whole bunch of pound notes, £20, £10, £5, £50 if they have them. And in the UK, you still have Queen's head, Queen Elizabeth, on the banknote. I'm sure they'll put King Charles on the next one. And it's always said, and it still says to this day, on a pound note. I'll try and show you one in the next video. It says, I promise to pay the bearer of this note on demand the sum of £10, £20. I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £10. That bank note is a piece of paper with a promise on it that is only as good as the King or Queen of England. It's as strong or as weak as the royal house who gave it. It may have the signature of, you know, the head of the Bank of England, whatever, but it's guaranteed by the throne, the seat of power in England. This is the Word of God. This is a book of promises, but it is only as strong, as the seat of the throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why the Bible says God has exalted His Word above His name. If God doesn't keep His Word, His name falls apart. His name doesn't mean anything. His name no longer exists. And I encourage you to step into a glorious life of promises. How do we do that practically? Three quick keys. Number one, you need to develop a relationship with God as a promise maker. You need to come to the Lord and allow Him to make promises to you. Allow Him to speak promises to you. You need to have a part of your relationship with Him. There's a part of our relationship where He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we bow before Him. There's a part of our relationship with Him where He's Father, Daddy, God, Abba, and we jump on His lap. There's a part of Him where we worship Him and we're drawn into that intimacy, that glorious place with Him. There are different aspects of our relationship with God. And yet there's a part of our God where He wants you to know Him as a promise maker. Secondly, key number two, He wants you to know Him as a promise keeper. Yeah. I love the way the Bible is honest about people's faults and failings, and yet it doesn't condemn them for that. I was just thinking that of Sarah, where when Sarah heard the Lord literally said in an audible voice to Sarah, sitting at a kitchen table, if you will, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah, this 19, 92-year-old woman, just burst out laughing. Like, come on, why? Are you kidding? She laughed at the promises of God. Now, I don't think I've ever had anybody stand up in my church and just hold the Bible up and laugh at the promises of God. And yet so often that's what our lives testify that we believe. I can tell what you believe by what you say, but I can even more tell you believe by what you do. Faith without works, faith without corresponding actions is dead. So Sarah laughed at the promises of God, and of course she went through her own journey, her own pathway with the Lord. She came to a place of faith. When the Bible recounts the story of Sarah in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Sarah judged him faithful. Faithful is he who promised, and he will also do it. And yeah, it's really important. What a lot of us have done without really connecting the dots and thinking it through is we've judged God to be unfaithful. Again, we haven't sort of done it in a conscious way, but we've done it. We've actually said, Lord, I look at your promises and, you know, they don't work. It's not real. We've judged him to be unfaithful. And we've all done that. And what a lot of us do is we park there, we sit. I was driving in a nearby town here the other day where I grew up, and I saw a car dealership. I was amazed it was still there. And about nearly 40 years ago now, I went to this car dealership with no money whatsoever and signed an agreement to buy a car. I thought I was in faith. The reason I thought I was in faith is I'd read a book where somebody else did this and it worked for them. And I got all excited about my new car. And within about 2 weeks, I had to go back and embarrass my tail between my legs. I had to buy myself out of the deal. And I felt that God failed me. God didn't fail me. I failed me. I wasn't in faith. I was in presumption. I was in copying. I wasn't following somebody who obtained promises. I was imitating and copying them. Now, for a season, I got really hurt in my faith regarding finances with God. I came to the conclusion, you know, God honors some people, but God doesn't honor me. And what I actually had to do, what I had to learn was it wasn't about the guy in the book, or it wasn't about me. God honors his word. When Jeremiah in Lamentations said, great is your faithfulness, he wasn't saying you are faithful to the Jewish people. He was actually saying you are faithful to your word, Selah. Guys, I'm going to end it for that today and be back tomorrow with another teaching on this. And hey, just wishing you well, speaking blessings over you. It's a really great tea, wherever you are. I encourage you to grab a copy of this and buy one for your friends. You know, The Promise, How to Live a Life Filled with Promises. Sign up for our email newsletter and drop me a line wherever you're at. I really would love to hear from you. Blessings, and bye for now.